You don't have to.
I don't have a podcast.
I don't know. We can wait. I'm not.
We don't. All right, it's 6 o'clock. I'm going to call to order this our committee meeting, committee of the whole meeting. And of course, the topic, going back to the residential tax abatement, yes or no, and what we're going to do about all this stuff and some of the different questions we've had about this. So we kicked it to committee to discuss these things and I guess get some further clarification. So, I don't know if anybody wants to start or has any questions or is this Mr. Fleck?
I'm sorry.
Good.
I didn't mean to jump on you.
Yep, good.
I think the last time, Jeff, did you go over if things in there we can't change or vary?
No. What I said was the way that it was written based on the more definitive laws were that the way it was written, it would be a look back. But you only get one more chance to change something to the CRA. We already had one back in 15 or 16 where we added commercial. What was it? It wasn't just commercial addition, it was full commercial. So you only have one more change. So the residential, the way it was tabled was, it would look back 10 years if you would. So anybody that built 9 years ago would still get the abatement. We did not know that when we brought it forth and then it came out. That's the way it was written.
And that's the way we've got to go with it.
No, you'd have to change it. Which means that I think the law director said you either table indefinitely or pull it off the table and vote it down and then redo another ordinance if you want to change that. But you only have one time you can change the CRA and still maintain a pre-94 status, which is 100%. Or nothing. Now, keep in mind, and I guess just to clarify, the city passes legislation. Council does legislation. You're the body that does it. The school does not. The school is the one that benefits from it long term, or they take it, you know, up front. But the city doesn't. We only recommend the approval to the school, with the exception of residential, and just the city would make that yay or nay on it. But commercial and industrial always go to the school. They have final say so on whether they approve the abatement or not. Because the school gets roughly about 75% of the property taxes. They get the lion's share of the property taxes on school funding, roughly.
So this one would have a lot bigger impact on that?
Well, looking back, it would have the impact. Always, as you look at something, if nothing is built on that unimproved property, there's always the base amount of tax due for the property. It's the abatement is for the improvements on that property. So if nobody builds on the property, there's no harm, no foul, nobody gets anything. It's if they build on it, it's either going to be 10, 12, or 15 years, somewhere along those lines, for if it's residential, if you vote residential, or commercial, or industrial. So it's somewhere along those lines that you will get it, where it would just abate the taxes at that point. It's not a TIF. This will be a full abatement on the improvements, not on the property, the land value itself.
That's how it was years ago that we had. Because I did several projects on what.
Right, just the improvements. There's been some questions. Some folks thought they got full abatement for the ground and everything, but that is never abated. That is a set established amount wherever it may be. Now, obviously, lots that have different price points are going to have different values, land values.
Can we start with what our current parameters are? Because I think there's question there with that, and I think everybody recognizes maybe some inconsistencies in the past. So what are our current parameters before we talk about what we want to
change? Okay, with respect to what? We allow commercial, industrial, and then improvements to residential. Inside whatever the existing structure is of when it was first built.
Yeah, anything related to residential, what's our policy?
Just improvements. It has to have at least $2,500 of value. And that goes back when city first passed this in 1981.
Okay, so question, I guess, that's been out there is, where do additions stand with that?
No additions.
So it's renovations with that?
It's supposed to be improvements to the existing property, and I think that, I know the wall directors look at that and said it isn't about additions, it is just about the improvements within the existing, what was originally built.
Is that something defined in a higher revised code, or is that our local policy? I guess I'm just trying to understand where that originated.
Under 3735.65C, Ohio Revised Code, it says remodeling means any change made in a structure for the purpose of making it structurally more sound, more habitable, or for the purpose of improving its appearance.
I'm gonna get council members first. Scott, I'll come back to you, okay? I want to make sure these guys get in first here. Eric Claus, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, regarding the changes that we talked about, you know, the feedback that I've got from people, I guess is that, you know, we shouldn't give anybody an abatement, especially people that can afford to build a new house. So, you know, one of the ways around that possibly, or not around that it would be more catering to single family homes that are, you know, younger families that are looking to build a house here in Salina would be to somehow in that language create a maximum footprint, square footage, whatever, maybe 2,000 square feet as the criteria. If that's the kind of family that wants, or that's the kind of attraction that we're going to get to build here, that's what we want to draw on. If somebody's building a $500,000 house out at Eagle Brook, maybe if they can afford to do that, maybe we shouldn't offer. Because it seems like the feedback from the public is, why are we helping people that have the money to do this?
I've gotten this.
Let's help people that maybe don't have the full means, and this would be something that would help them establish a footprint here, because we want people that move forward. We want both to be pulling here. I think we want to be more attractive to that young family that's coming here just, you know, to either maintain or live out their life here, or a good start with their children here. And that's what we want to try to attract with this. It's kind of what, some of the thinking is that we can control it at that level. If we can control a basic size footprint of a house, that would attract. And then I'm also in agreement with Larry. I'd like to understand exactly, you know, when it's an improvement to a property, I don't know why having an addition onto the property isn't an improvement. So that would be my question there. It seems to me that's improving the property. Now, if they add an extra bay on their garage, is that improving? I don't know why there was a stipulation on the end part versus an overall improvement. If it's an improvement, then why wouldn't it be considered? And so I guess I'm in that same kind of, I guess, misunderstanding or understanding there that you know, if it's an improvement to the property, it's an improvement.
George. Let me get everybody else. Has everybody gone? Wants to go? I'm good.
Thank you. You say an 1,800 square foot house, it's still going to be $432,000 of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a pretty good price.
Sure. Yeah, houses aren't cheap.
They're not, $240 a square foot.
Right. But somebody out the golf course is not going to be building that. That's what
true.
I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I understand that. But at what point do we want a square footage to be above? We don't want any more, low income housing.
Right.
I don't know if we have enough of that. I think we got enough of that, I think. So we don't want that in there.
Typically, those aren't single-family homes.
If somebody could build one, you know, if they go for that
abatement. Typically, it's not, right? It's usually in apartments or...
Yeah, right, but yeah. It could be somebody out there.
Sure.
But commercially, if they build an apartment, commercially, they could get the abatement now.
Right. Yeah, that's okay. That falls under the commercial, not the residential.
Correct. That would fall under... Correct.
Right. But you're right, Myron. I don't disagree.
Either way.
Yeah, you could get a low-budget single-family home that fits that criteria.
Or a contractor coming in and taking the low-budget ones.
Right.
Single-family.
Right. But, you know, are they going to be able to sell here? I don't know. You know, that's... Maybe that would be a good enough deterrent.
All right, Mark, good. Thank you.
Probably most of your young couples getting started, aren't the taxes figured into the loans? So what kind of an impact is that really to the person? I mean, once the loan's structured, you just make your payments.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily? What would be different?
I had a mortgage that I paid the taxes separately.
Yeah. But aren't a lot of loans structured that way?
Some
it just
it.
Depends
some.
On where
it
you
all
go.
Depends what they are.
Yeah.
So not necessarily all of them.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Yeah, I think the section that George pointed out, that helps me because I was looking for what's the definition. And it does say in the high revised code remodeling means any change made in a structure. Or purpose making it structurally more sound. So if that's our terminology, that makes sense. I guess a couple things too. So there's like 60 some available locations for new.
I believe there's 68 current available lots. No, most of them are in Wheatlands and Eaglebrook.
So I know Eaglebrook in certain areas there's restrictions on. Like the parameters the person agrees to when they build on a lot, minimum square footage is the Wheatland similar? Is there any parameters there?
I think it's 1,500 square feet, but I'm not 100%
positive. Is the minimum there?
Yeah.
And I'm a little reluctant. To me, it's like we either go do it for everybody or we don't do it. Like setting these parameters, hardening certain people. I mean, if we're getting down to that, it's like just don't offer it at all. We're going to, in my opinion, we're picking and choosing who gets it. That doesn't seem quite right.
We got some councilmen jump in, Joe.
I just think we need to be consistent on this because I don't think we've been consistent over our improvements the last several years. I think it's, you know, some people get an abatement on a remodel with an addition, some didn't.
Well, some got it for a garage.
Yeah,
and that should have never gone through engineering.
Right. So I just think that whatever we do, I think we need to write it over again and make it right.
I would agree.
So everybody's on the same page. That way we don't have, you know, residents like Scott that it's not sure why he's not getting his abatement. You know, it's one word, you know, we have one word in the ordinance, and so, you know.
But that's from state law.
From state law.
Which transferred.
Right. But, I mean, as other communities operate off the same state law, correct?
But
correct.
They've changed their CRA.
Okay.
You can change
so
the
can change
CRA.
Our CRA.
We can. We
that.
Have one change left to maintain a pre-94.
Right. But, I mean, we could change the whole ordinance with the one-time change, right?
You get one more.
That's it. One
right.
change.
One
that's
more.
Correct.
But, I mean, it's not just one item in there. It's we can make multiple changes in that ordinance.
Within the parameters of what the ORC permits, yes.
Right.
Like, there's certain time, year limitations, et cetera. And, you know, there's,
right.
you know, there's certain things in there.
All right, Tom?
I'm of the same thinking as well. If I guess what we talked about earlier, that if it's in the spirit of the law that we want to have improvements in Salina, I would like to see additions a part of it, but I get it, the legal side, if that's what it says and that's what it's interpreted by, I get that. As far as the inconsistency that's happened all the way up to 2022, I don't know if that's something that we just, we can set a standard. We, what's that?
It should be 2017.
2017?
Yeah.
Okay. We should set a standard of I don't know whose oversight it is. Like with the engineers, there's a lot of costs. There's a lot of pieces in the mix, and I don't know whose oversight it is to say, no, that can't go before it goes. Or how that is. And so I don't know if that's a team effort of the county or the city or however that needs to be.
It doesn't have anything to do with the county. This is internal to the city, and it goes through engineering. And when they approve things and come up, they should catch it in engineering, should be caught up the chain. It did not. But from 1981, there's been missteps.
Yeah, correct.
Multiple missteps that should have never happened.
Correct.
But it did. But 17 is when that was it.
Okay. So as far as oversight, and again with the county, I don't know where the forms are going to be and then how we're going to publicize them. If the city's going to go with just the 81, just the regular stuff, how are we going to let everybody know about that? And then where are the forms going to be, like in the city? Are we going to have forms?
They will be forms downloaded. Does she have them added to the website yet?
The last time we tried to add them, it crashed.
Okay, that's why it crashed. They will be added to the website,
but we want to get through tax season first before we make any more changes to the website because we crashed it last time.
Understandable. Yep. And then so my thought is whatever we decide to do again, too, changing however, I would love to see three more readings just to make sure that we do get our ducks in a row and we do get feedback from the community. If there's any changes that we do, that's where I'm at.
Well, no problem with that. Yeah.
Mark?
Do you know when the Broads are decided to do their position out there?
It's just none. They haven't given any one way or another. He's kind of, I think they've kind of waffled on whether it would be some, you know, multi-phase apartments or single family or a mixture. There's nothing set. There's not even a site plan of which I'm aware. I think it's just conjecture on what they would like to see. No, that's fair.
In regards to like duplexes, triplexes, at what point are those considered residential? At what point does it change to commercial?
Duplexes are, triplexes I believe in the code are pump up.
So duplexes still residential?
Single family and duplexes are single family or residential. I'd have to read the code. There's something there on triplexes that they may bump up.
Okay. So you're pretty confident anything above that's
becomes commercial. Yep.
The other, there is a clarification that occurred this year that if there's a single lot that has multiple, and I'll use Boardwalk Village, they have a single where their vacation villas are, it's on a single lot. So this, I think it just in 24 became effective.
It just went into effect in 24.
That's considered commercial because it's a single owner that owns a single lot, even though there's several what we would look at and say, oh, those are just mini homes. Those are rentals. And that's considered commercial, but that was a state change. That's why that would fall underneath.
All right, anybody else right now? I'm gonna let Scott speak on a few things.
Just to comment on you guys setting the cap, just remember it's only a 10-year tax abatement. The school district gets all that money, regardless of how much it costs. Like, the city gets all that money after 10 years. Those taxes take effect. As for the definition, I'm in agreement. Like, I don't think that it's properly interpreted. You know, I could argue until I'm blue in the face, I'm not going to do that. But I did do some more research, reaching out to communities around us to see how they interpret it. All of them use the same Ohio Revised Code definition, and all of them allow additions to qualify. Only Salina. And I'm willing to make a large wager, if I called other cities throughout the entire state, all of them would allow additions. If I'm being completely frank and honest here, in 2017 when they had the meeting that was not recorded, there was a decision made to make up for what the city caused by allowing tax abatements to the new constructions. And that is when the interpretation of the definition changed, was right after the meeting. If I'm just putting it out there.
I've got four cities and four people to talk to. I've got names and phone numbers if you want to, you guys would like to contact them.
Under the four cities.
St. Mary's, who is pre-94, talked to Mike Burkholder. He actually said additions, garages, any change made to the structure of the home count. Coldwater, I talked to Eric Thomas. They are post-94. Any sort of improvement on the home, kitchen, bathroom, additions, all qualify. Sydney, I talked to Kyle Havener. I reached out to another person who was in charge, and Kyle sent me an email back. Actually sent me all their forms that they have. Kyle Havener said, remodels defined as any construction or improvement to real property exceeding, he said, additions definitely qualify in Sydney. I also talked to Bill Lawson and Van Wert, who's also post 94, who said additions qualify all the time.
Are these all from ORC interpretations, or are they any from any type of ordinance that their council has passed? Do you know?
They all follow Ohio Revised Code.
I would be interested in, I guess, seeing what you're looking at. I guess I'm open to looking at anything.
They all file, their forms are available on their websites. Like, it was easy to get the information. I knew exactly who to contact for the information. Everything was right there.
We'll take a look, but I guess based upon the plain language under the remodeling section here, in to me means then existing as of the time that the application is submitted.
Right, so and a structure.
So it would not include any additional room that would be put on. That would be not in, that would be in addition to.
Okay, my argument there is, how do you say an addition is not a change in the structure?
I didn't say that. I said it's not in. I didn't say it's not a change. It's
but
not.
Ohio Revised Code defines it as a change in a structure.
I think it's a change in addition to the structure.
But it doesn't say in addition to the structure. It says in a structure, correct?
You're arguing the negative with me here. What you're arguing is not consistent with what the ORC says to me.
What does the ORC specifically say?
Remodeling means any change made in a structure for the purpose of making it more structurally sound, more habitable, or for the purpose of improving its appearance.
How is an addition not improving its appearance, making it more habitable?
You're going too far in the sentence. You don't get that far because it doesn't meet the definition of in.
Does it say or? Sorry, I didn't catch
that. Remodeling means any change made in a structure. So to me, stop reading right there. An additional room is in addition to said structure. So it can't be made within the structure.
It doesn't say within.
I know it doesn't. But that proves my point. It's not within the structure.
So,
and anyone that was granted that was contrary to this, in my opinion, was granted incorrectly by the city.
Okay, so let's reach out to other communities because I think that should have been done in the first place. Actually, in my more research that I've done, and I've saved some for the live feed, Ohio Revised Codes has a statute about interpreting the law. It says if it's ambiguous, you have to consider the object sought to be attained, the circumstances under which the statute was enacted, the legislative history, the common law or former statutory provisions, including laws upon the same or similar subjects, the consequences of a particular construction, and also the administrative construction of the statute. I don't think those were considered in saying in means within, because in my book, in is a preposition that is within is a separate preposition. In says any change in a structure. It does not say within. That's where my confusion lies. Because you're changing the definition, making it within.
I guess I'm trying to clarify my belief in what the definition is, that in is within and it is not in addition to. If there's another legal interpretation out there, I would love to see it. I mean, maybe, you know, again, I admit we have done it wrong in the past. I think what you're asking us to do, though, would be consistent with how we've done it wrong in the past.
No. How it was done wrong in the past is that it was given to new constructions. Not that it was given for the people who were doing it right, who were improving the existing structure there.
But weren't there also some that were given for additions?
Yes.
And we agree that that shouldn't have happened, right?
Garage, pool.
Garage and a pool, right. That shouldn't have happened.
I agree, a pool, because you're not changing the structure. An addition, you're changing the structure. A garage, you're changing the structure. If it's attached to the house.
I know for a fact one of these garages is actually an out garage.
Again, some have been done wrong.
Right.
We fully admit that.
And I think that's important to note. I think that's important noting going forward, but I also think it's important to take in effect or take into consideration what everyone else is doing. I almost guarantee if I continue calling cities around us, calling cities all over the state of Ohio, they're gonna say, yeah, additions count as a change in the structure.
Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I think if this applies to a lot of the older homes here in the city, and I would imagine that most of the homes in this city, older homes, have already had additions to them and not reported. So how do we know if it's an addition, if a qualified home? You know, if the home already is disqualified because somebody previously did an addition on it, can you then do another addition? Can you apply for a, so I think we could be, trying to figure out, but I believe that if it improves the value of that property by an addition, not only putting new windows in or updating the kitchen or a new bathroom, but they're improving the property, then to me that should be something that we should factor in as part of their investment into that property, and give them that benefit of the abatement for whatever that perceived value is. That would be my opinion on that.
It's amazing to me, because I understand both points of view, but how a two-letter word can make all the difference. N or two. Major difference, really. So
it is.
I'm happy to look at any other legal interpretation. I guess
I'm not making a judgment. I'm just simply saying it's amazing that it can be such a factor with just a little two-letter word. Heather.
Yeah, I guess my opinion is where we go forward depends on how we're going to handle the new piece that we've been talking about, new builds, because I agree with Eric. Like, we feel like we should be encouraging people to improve their property. That's both renovating what they have and adding on to what they have, and even the new builds, which is even more reason to not set parameters on who is allowed to get it. Like, we want everybody to be encouraged to keep their property up and improve. And so I guess that's something we all got to think about. It's where we're going, because if we're going to include new builds, then it makes sense to clarify this piece that it's renovation and addition and new build, if that's the direction we're going to go. That's fine.
I can decide, I guess, right? Okay, Scott?
I think that needs to be clarified before you even go into this, because that's already on the books.
That's what I'm saying. If we get one more chance to change within what we're allowed to, I guess. So as long as we're allowed to make those changes of clarifying that this is for renovation, remodel, that includes additions and new builds, if we're allowed to do all that, it should be in this updated ordinance, if that's what we all agree to.
Agreed. We get the one more chance to remain pre-94. We have that one more opportunity to make those changes to structure that language, so that is correct. We'd only have the one more time.
Mark, if you go down through my ward, it's probably the oldest ward. There probably isn't too many renovations that don't have some sort of an addition to the structure.
Original structure.
The original structure.
we've been putting streets in and stuff like that, it really prompts people to fix. I mean, go down Livingston, look how houses have changed since that street's been done. Well, look how many streets in my area are going to be done by this summer. Now
very
we
quickly.
Go down a couple of them streets and see how many houses are getting worked on.
Right.
But they're also getting changes to the additions and so forth as well. It all works together.
I agree.
Well, that's a good point too. Like older areas where maybe there's a like really old house that really just needs to come down and start over. If you had something like this that included really any kind of improvement, including new, I mean, that would encourage somebody to make the investment, just tear it down and build something new and improve that way, right?
Correct. Yeah, the money you saved on your property taxes could go towards demoing the old house in order to build a new one, which was the intent of a lot of this stuff originally, for commercial and industrial originally.
Now, there was a lot of houses that took over their garages and made them living spaces. Would that have qualified as an addition?
For our current, no, because it's part of the existing garage.
Right.
The renovation inside would have.
Joe,
I just got a question for the law director. Is there anybody from the state that you can contact to clarify that one word in that and see what their interpretation is of it?
I think my best bet would be perhaps the Ohio Municipal Attorneys Association.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's where we need to start with Scott's issue.
I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
That certainly might be the case.
Yeah. And, you know, let's make sure that our interpretation that we're using is accurate.
Yeah. I think that'd be a very appropriate question to submit to the listserv for the Municipal Attorneys Association of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys can answer this question. I'm just looking through, and Scott, thanks again for all the numbers and stuff. I've combed through this a lot. Is there a reason why, like, there was such a drop-off? I looked at, like, the years all the way up through, let's see, 04, 05, and 06. In, like, a four-year span, there were, like, 98. But then 07, 08, 09, and 10, that four-year span, just 29.
Probably the recession.
Okay. Well, at 07, it dropped down to 7. So it goes from 32 to 25, 15, 7, 6, 9, 7. So it went to single digits for like 4 years. I can see that too. Okay, that plays in.
That would have played in.
Yeah. But there was a lot in that span in the early 2000s. And somehow I did not get the memo. I would have filed one too. But that's a lot. I mean, so obviously the word was out or people knew back then.
I think that the city had a different interpretation of it before George was like, I respect your interpretation, I respect your position as the law director, but I think the city originally had a different interpretation of it where additions did count. That's what they counted. Now,
back to 1981, I believe.
Now, nobody on this in city council was on the board, right? And that's what I'm saying at this meeting in 2017 that there's no records of a change was made. And there's no public record of this change being made. That's the problem I have.
Yeah, 2017, just looking at this, obviously there's a couple of new homes because we're looking at 359,000
was
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Seven.
I know who it is.
Yeah. And I mean, you got 150,000. Yeah. So, I mean, and some of them obviously were not for them to live in because a couple of them are the same names.
Yep.
So we're talking like rental properties?
Nope. Out on 197, houses up on the golf course.
Oh, so spec houses then?
Yep.
Build stuff, okay. That makes sense, okay. But then after that, then it went down to 100 and 2 the last 4 years. So I'm just looking at it, looking at the numbers and just seeing. So I'm again, probably we need to take what we have currently because we're in our third reading when we bring up the table. I think the law director was right. Postpone indefinitely, table indefinitely, or just pull it off the table and vote it down. There's two or three ways of doing that, but I think we need to do something with that soon.
And at least get it off the agenda.
Start over, so to speak.
Hey, yeah, that's I would agree.
That'd be my recommendation, everybody.
And just since we're talking about completely starting over something different. In reference to the 10-year look back, I wouldn't want to do the 10-year. To me, it's from this point moving forward, right? So I would want that in the language. Right?
I agree.
Okay. Other points or comments or questions? Make sure we have everything clarified now would be good.
Yeah, time.
The question I have. Are you talking about new construction or?
Yeah, the new construction.
The new construction part, not where it would be leaving Scott hanging on that. That would be.
I'm talking strictly the new construction.
Okay, I'm agreeing with that myself, so.
And certainly as a part of that ordinance, you can say new construction, but it could define additions.
Yeah, we need to clarify.
So that could all be in that same piece of legislation.
So then it would put me out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would
be
correct.
Okay.
If you do it from that point forward.
Okay. I mean, I didn't
know. Unless there's a different interpretation that the law director can find.
Well, I'm just simply saying for someone like Scott who has already you filed paperwork already.
It's filed, yep.
Yeah. I didn't know where we stand on that. Or if there's, I mean, I don't, what's the law on that?
I guess if there's a logical legal interpretation of, what is the word, in, that includes an addition, you know, again, I think it's at the time that it's filed is how I read that. And I think that that's what the plain language says. But, I mean, if you know, again, if there's other interpretations and those communities, I mean, if they're interpreting from the ORC, I would love to talk to their law directors about it to see why they interpret it that way. You know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe they're looking at it wrong. You know, again, I admit the city did it wrong in several instances.
No matter what we do.
And that's unfortunate.
There's inconsistencies that have to be.
Yes, that's very unfortunate.
Yeah, very important.
But I was in the printing business for 27 years. When you get into contracts like lease agreements and so forth, ifs, ands, buts, they can be interpreted. Also, words like that can be depending on the interpretation. Almost kind of the deal George got to deal with. Maybe other communities see them a little differently. You wouldn't know unless you talked to them, I guess. So.
Right. Or do we have a recommendation then from council then? So we want to, tonight, do we want to pull the table ordinance off the table and vote it down or postpone it indefinitely or whatever, at least deal with it and then start over?
Yeah. What would be the difference if we just postpone it indefinitely?
All of them kill it. We could pull it off and everybody could vote it down too and just say no. That no reasons. But it just whatever motion is made.
The motion to postpone indefinitely would not be with regards to the substantive merits of it. You wouldn't be voting no to the ordinance. You'd just be voting to throw it in the trash can.
That's probably a better
basically
way.
So that would be motion to postpone indefinitely. Yeah. If that's how you guys would like to do it.
What do you recommend?
I would recommend that because that will cleanly take it off the table. And again, it's without regards to the merits of it because I think discussions have happened. Maybe discussions are happening. You know, things are moving forward here with it. So it's probably a good idea to start from scratch.
I agree. I think a no vote, just everybody saying no would send a different message. It's just we don't like what we have presented in front of us. So.
If you postpone it, it no longer stays on the agenda.
Right
there.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes away. You don't have to look at it every week on the agenda.
Yeah, we have to do something with it.
And then we can recraft.
Okay. Okay. So George's got some things to look into as well. And any other questions before we...
There's no other anything that's not clear in this ordinance that we should clear up? Is that something we're going to... Because we don't want to change
I guess it comes back to exactly what you want to see. Do you want to limit the square footage? Because I can also tell you that if you look at some places that are, there's a couple other people looking at developing mini homes
Well, those may be $300,000 or $400,000 mini homes, and if they're only 900 square feet or 1,100 square feet, you're also looking at that. So I think you have to look at it in a whole picture. Just because a house is 900 square feet doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be less than a house that's 1,500 square feet. It depends how it's built.
Right.
I mean, I'm just right. being honest.
And where?
And where. So I think we are, by and large, we are with the economy, the way prices have escalated, it's very difficult for people to proceed and to build. Those with cash, this is an area almost sort of kind of like cash is king, they can do that, or if they have money that they've sold something and have to put back into it, they're more likely to build to be able to take advantage of that. Those folks that maybe we want to see coming in to build, as long as mortgage rates are 8%, 9%, 10%, they're probably saying, I'm not going to take a mortgage out right now. So there's gonna be things not happening. But I do know we have had a significant housing deficit for several years, and it's not gotten any better. So maybe we had a 75-day inventory at one point, and I think we have less than 2-week inventory. But I mean, it just has become very, very difficult on houses. So you look at if somebody builds in an upper house, that alleviates their house, and somebody can move into that. Maybe somebody was in an apartment. But again, I think one of the catalysts that that kind of prompted this was the fact that our unemployment rate being around 2% means we just don't have the labor pool out there at any level of the jobs. And I think that is a struggle to get that labor pool if you don't have places for them to live. So I think that's one of the elements that we've all considered is saying, how do we incentivize people to want to build? You know, you want them to move here, but they've got to have somewhere to live.
So is the administration clear on what council's asking for as far as language or?
No, not yet.
So let's clarify.
We need more clarity on
and
that.
And see if you guys kind of pretty much agree on some of those points. So, go ahead.
My thing is we have to consist with our neighboring communities. So, you know, Tom, you worked in Van Wert and St. Mary's. You got contacts with both them communities. Why can't we get there or what they have written and see what they have written and maybe we can just copy it? If it's working for them, why can't we just look at something that's already, somebody's already done and work the legwork for it? Bring it to us, let us look at it, see what it is, and maybe it's something that we could adopt but our neighboring communities, you know, Coldwater also, because I'm sure Eric would share all this information.
Yeah, we can get their actual ordinances and see what they wrote on there. So
there's one point. Other points? Pioneer?
Yep, good.
Yeah, I think what we talked about was that we want something that applies to remodels of existing structure.
Right.
That includes additions to an existing structure. And new builds, new construction on the property. I think we're trying to cover all the... So
any improvements then for residential get tax benefit? Is that what we're looking for?
So when you say that, are you asking about auxiliary stuff like a swimming pool?
Like a swimming pool, fences, outbuildings, everything gets...
I think, just to be clear, for engineering
on what we're abating, I mean, from an engineering standpoint, it's going to be a lot easier just to abate everything so they don't have to make that call. Is this count? Does this not count?
You're talking in-ground.
Whatever raises your property value.
Yeah,
so if an above-ground pool would raise your property value, then
I think that's what we're talking about is, in general, we're encouraging people to improve their properties.
Right.
So why think
that? Right, and it's like I said, it'd be easier. That way it takes all the guesswork from engineering out of it. All right, they got a permit for this. Does it actually count for an abatement? Does it not count for an abatement? We just make it that everything counts for an abatement.
And we're not saying you're deciding on that tonight. You just got to say, what do you want
language?
What's that?
I'm sure we'll get
it. I'm sure we'll too, but... And it's going to be good feedback, but we got to decide what we want in the language at least now. So,
what about in livable space? I mean, you don't live in a garage,
right? Something that's habitable.
Yes. When you do, but square footage, they don't include the garages, I don't think.
No, they don't.
not for living space.
But yeah, but now, but in some of the other neighborhoods, you have people that build pool houses on their pools that isn't attached to their building, but yet they have people come and stay there. Does that count?
Say no.
Right, and that's where engineering just going to need clear cut. This is what we're doing, this is what we're not, and that way we don't have the mistakes like in the past where whoever's there, sign off, good, next person not.
So why don't we want a garage?
Especially if somebody's living above it.
I mean, where if they added another bay, that would include the property, right? Yeah. They added, instead of, they had a single car and added two,
that's what I mean. If we're going to do it, we just need to be crystal clear so we don't have, from that point going forward, there is no more.
Maybe a basic question is, what are you wanting to incentivize? You can increase your property value if you put in an in-ground pool, but what's the percentage that you reduce your resale to? By 80%? There's only so many people that want a pool, because that is a monthly cost. So you can think a pool's great, and if you get it free, great, but there's gonna be a cost to heat it, to chlorine, you know, cleaning. So what is it that you want to improve in a single family? Is it a pool? Do you want somebody to have a garage they get an abatement for that all of a sudden then it becomes a zoning issue because now they're running a wood shop out of there and they're running a business out of the backside. So then you get a conflict. If they're not zoned for business and a neighbor turns them in because now they're building grandfather clocks in a garage they got a tax abatement on. I'm not saying they got a permit to do that. I'm saying sometimes people utilize that space to do things. I'm not opposed to entrepreneurship. Heaven knows I'm not. But what is it that you want to incentivize? My thought process is that we want to incentivize housing. That to me is a key thing. That's what we're most lacking here. We're not really lacking in pools. We're not lacking in really nice sheds or a pool house. We're really lacking in housing and improvements there too.
I mean, the person putting the pool in, that's on them to figure out what that does for them in the future. That's not for us to police.
Correct.
If they're allowed to have a pool or not.
No, that's up to them, but do you really want to get a tax abatement on a pool?
And we shouldn't be worrying about how people are going to break.
I don't disagree with you.
Like, it's just, if the garage improves the property, that's the point. It's not thinking about how are they going to...
I don't disagree with that.
...run a business out. They shouldn't be... They're breaking a different...
I agree.
...in that manner. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, there's two points. Like, we're talking about how expensive things are and the cost of inflation. We're trying to help people... Maybe the person that's on the fence of whether I can improve my property or build new, this helps them just have a little extra. And the second piece is just it encourages people to improve their property. So you would think as a city, you're given, no matter what area you live in, if you're in an older, lower cost property or you want to build a new, bigger property, it covers everybody the same, that you would benefit from improving your property, whether it's renovation, adding on to it. So those are the two points we're covering.
Tom,
I like also just saying it's easier just to say everything, and if there's a tax auditor that's going to say you owe more money because of this improvement, then they should be able to get the abatement for the 10 years and afterward pay the
it is like an annuity. At the end of that 10 year, they start paying that tax on that improvement. No question about it.
It'd definitely be easier for us.
Yeah,
it certainly would be.
Just make it straightforward, nice and easy, everything included, based on what
I just want to be clear before any other legislation comes up.
We want the legislation to be as close to what you guys are asking for as possible. So, Eric,
I guess I have a concern with what we offer to a pool, because then in the future someone could say, well, it's a tax improvement if I had the pool removed. So I would say a pool's probably
be a hard
be
argument.
Considered as part of this. But that's just my opinion, because I guess someone could say it's an improvement if I got it removed, and it's an improvement when I put it in.
Scott, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I think that Ohio Revised Code provides that definition for a reason. It's any change in the structure, and George has said, that structure has to exist already. So if you're changing the structure, whether it be an addition or a garage, if it's attached to that structure, it should be. And I feel like the engineering department,
I understand,
they can go out and inspect, sure, to make sure,
yeah,
it's attached. There should, correct, be a team that inspects to make sure, okay, right, this is what you filled out for, right, what you filed for, okay, this is, we need to make sure. So then pools don't, it's not changing the existing structure of the home.
Right.
I mean, I think that's...
It's not attached.
Right.
So, right, so, right.
Okay. So let's say somebody pushes the issue and they build a deck off the back of their house, and it's attached to their pool. And they argue, well, the deck's attached to my house, which is attached to my pool. So it's all an attachment to the house.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Or indoor pool.
Or indoor pool is attached.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be, and who knows what in the future, it may be AstroTurf for everybody's yard 50 years from now, and they're going to say, well, we had turfed our yard, and now that's an improvement, raising our taxes. I think it's going to be a lot cleaner just to do everything. And then that way it covers us for the future too.
I mean, one question is, how much does gets assessed to a pool? Like, is it that much of a tax that we're, I don't, why are we nitpicking,
yeah,
over?
I think that the point was, when you look at what's attached, what's an improvement to the structure, the habitable structure itself, what's that improvement look like? What do we want included in that improvement? Because we've got one time.
Right. We got to be very clear. Very clear. What a tax means and all that kind of stuff too. So. All
right. Can I answer that for you real quick? No. If you have to file for a permit to get a pool, if you're putting a pool in, you'll have to see zoning. They ask for your blueprints. They'll ask for everything,
right,
you have. It'll have the estimate on it.
Right.
That estimate is what they will use to improve your taxes for you.
I like the way you said that.
Went through it.
Okay, any other comments, Tom?
And is it right that the procedure is that you file first and then do your improvement?
That's what it says now. That doesn't always happen.
Now?
Right.
Is that how we want to continue reading, that you have to file before you do anything?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
That's what is supposed to happen now, and it hasn't always happened, but so we tried to correct that.
Sometimes we've had people that build stuff without permits, and then we go, and then they have to go get their permit, and then they file tax abatement after. So you have to be careful about before you build, because some people are like, well, I didn't know I needed a permit for it.
Correct. I've heard of that before, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So do they not get tax abatement then because they didn't file before they started their...
Yeah.
Like I said, it's going to be a lot easier for engineering just to approve of everything.
For example, so, applying for it after it's done.
Yeah.
It doesn't say in the ordinance anywhere that you have to apply before it's done.
It says you have to get it before.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, and there's been people applied after the fact, too.
It doesn't say anywhere in the ordinance that says you have to apply before it's done or before you start.
All these things we need to look at. So,
yeah,
do you have enough information then to start with something?
I think we do.
Looking at other communities,
yeah,
as well?
I think we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I make sure we didn't leave without at least some kind of direction on the compass. Okay. All right. Good meeting. We'll adjourn at 6:53 and take 7 minutes here before we start a regular meeting.